Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Holiday weekend morning show with John and Hugh. The NFL spring meetings in Atlanta. I didn't think we'd have a whole lot coming out of these spring meetings because the agenda was pretty much set. And we thought, okay, we'll have this and, you know, that. And we actually got some news that came out of it, obviously. Got bigger news than I thought, and we'll get back into the national anthem policy a little later in the show. And because I didn't really expect, just one thing about that, Hugh, I did not expect, when we talked about this yesterday, Arthur Blanket said he didn't think much would happen. Tim Mara of the Giants said, we will have a new policy by the end of the day Wednesday. And I think both of us said, hey, really? And lo and behold, out of nowhere.
They did. I think this was, especially with the anthem stuff, I think this was something for a lot of owners that they really wanted to take care of. And that's why they did it the way they did it. They just wanted this to, they wanted to quickly dispel this and get on to the business of football.
Oh, yeah, they want this to go away.
Go away.
That's what they want. That's what they're hoping for. And right now, that's not happening. But, again, we'll get back into that. And then there was other little news that came out of the spring meetings, like Nashville getting, you know, officially getting the draft next year. And that could be a lot of fun. I mean, I think we could go up and do the draft. That would be a – I've never been to the draft. I've always wanted to go. And now that it's this close, maybe we have to.
We ain't going to the draft, John.
Yeah, we could go up and do our show on Friday.
No, we ain't hanging out at the draft. Because when we go, we gonna go hang out. We're not actually – I'm not going to work. I want to hang out. I don't want to actually go to work. I want to go hang out.
You don't want to cover the draft.
I just want to work. I just want to be there and just be a fly on the wall and see the festivities. I don't want to actually go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You trying to make us work. I work here in this studio, in the Kia Studios.
Okay.
Then I go to the draft. Because that's not that far away. That's like what? A couple hours, 4 hours?
Three and a half, four.
Yeah, I can do that. I want to hang out. I don't want to work.
And there's that, and of course, you know, we got new Super Bowls. We got the new kickoff rule that went into effect, and that'll be something that we'll have to probably go back over when we get to the season and start to see it actually in practice during the preseason games, how the new kickoff rule works. And then there's the new helmet rule. Mark Juan Manuel was talking to some of us in the media yesterday, the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. He made a really good point. He's talking to you about the new helmet rule and how you have to get your head out of the way, how you have to keep your chin up and lead with your face mask, and how they're going to officiate this helmet rule by leading with your shoulder and whatnot when it comes to tackling, and it's that rugby tackle. Guess what? The Atlanta Falcons are way ahead of the curve because Dan Quinn has been teaching that rugby tackling ever since he brought you on stage that one time and gave you a demonstration, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, they've been doing that since Seattle. They've been doing that rugby tackling since Seattle. My biggest concern is, like, when the play is about to start and they're talking about coming off the line of scrimmage, how are you going to take your head out of the game when it comes to that? Because when you're an offensive lineman or defensive lineman initially, that's how you make the contact to engage and initiate that separation that you're trying to get. You lead with your head, you put your hands in there, and then you push off like you're almost like you're bench pressing. So it's going to be interesting to see how referees handle that when they see that happen on the offensive and defensive lines.
The defensive passing game coordinator of the Falcons is Jerome Henderson. And so I wanted a little insight into this rule and about what he expects out of the defensive passing game this season. So I got a chance to spend about two and a half minutes with him. It's a short interview, but we have this to kind of bring you up to speed on where we stand on this. Coach Henderson, take me through what you see in your defensive pass game this year that gives you hope that the team is going to improve upon that again this season.
Well, you know, we got the core of the defense back, and so that's big when those guys can have 1, 2, now 3 years in the system and they can help teach the other guys and talk to them about issues and things that we see. That's a huge help. And then I think the type of guys we have is big, like, because they're all workers. And then secondly, again, they're all helping each other and pulling for each other, and they want to get better, and I think we will.
All right, when you talk about a guy like Deion Jones and being the leading defensive pass linebacker in the NFL last season. And I believe he led the NFL. And that working backwards to Keanu and Dez, and of course guys that come off the bench like Kamal and Rocky, I can go through the whole list here. Who are you expecting to elevate their game up in order to limit the other team?
I think everybody has to take the next step. Like, again, we made tremendous strides last year, and it's credit to those guys and how hard they played and how they worked. And we expect all of those guys to take another step. And then, you know, one thing that Coach Manuel always preaches is bring somebody with you. Who are you bringing with you? And that's really important to us and how we do things here. And it's not just me. It's who can I help so that we're all better? Because we knock on wood, Deion may miss a play or two. Somebody's got to go in and play in his place, and we want that guy to be ready to go in and function at just as high a level as Deion does, and all those guys.
Jerome Henderson is the defensive passing game coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons on 92.9 The Game, talking a little bit about this new, coach, if we can, the new helmet rule. How well is it understood among all the coaches and the players? Is it clear now what the NFL wants to do with this new rule?
I think bigger than that, it's clear to us as a defense how we want to play and our fundamentals. Our fundamentals are you see what you hit. And so if you lead with that I'm going to have my eyes up and I'm going to see my target and I'm going to tackle with my shoulder, then I don't think you'll have problems. I don't anticipate us having a big problem with it because I think our fundamentals are correct.
All right, I see what the NFL is saying about, you know, not leading with the top of your head, the crown of your helmet, but that's really always been kind of the case. It's the old spearing rule. If I'm a fan sitting at home, what's new? What can I not do now that I could in the past, and what kind of trouble am I going to be in if I do?
Yeah, like you said, it really isn't a new rule. I think it's just a different enforcement and bringing it more to light. And I think in the past, like, players probably got away with at the point of contact that I was leading with my head and using my head as a weapon. And that's what I think the NFL is trying to stop, of guys using their head as a weapon in football. So, again, for us, we teach eyes up, see what you hit, and we teach a shoulder tackle. So hopefully our guys won't be in that situation. But it's now you could potentially be ejected from the game.
With the new rules on ejection, should I be concerned that, as a fan, that they're not going to be able to police this the right way? We're going to have a lot of stoppages. There's going to be a lot of penalties. We're going to have ejections. What's going to happen?
I think it's a good rule because it protects our game. It protects our players. I think that at the end of the day, it's taken out the 5 or 6 bad hits that you see every year where guys go clean a guy's clock and you see a guy laid out on the field. That's bad for football. It's bad for everybody involved. And I think they're trying to specifically target that. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this works, Hugh, to see if it does. If these changes help, the new kickoff rule combined with the new helmet rule to limit the number, and we'll see a drop in the number of concussions this season.
Yeah, they're trying to make the game as safe as they possibly can, but it's still football. I don't know how much it's going to help the game because there are still situations in the game where you cannot control, like that helmet-to-helmet when the receiver's up there reaching for, you know, grabbing a pass, snagging a pass down, and the defender's coming in to make that tackle. You know, and you're trying to lead with your shoulder, but your head gets into it when the defender puts his head down. So it's going to be interesting to see how they police that when the season starts.
One of the things that Mark Juan Manuel said was that because the plays are bang-bang, Hugh, and it happens so fast, what the officials are going to be looking for is where you lower yourself from. If you are a player, and just kind of picture this in your mind's eye, according to Mark Juan Manuel, and you drop your head and bend at the waist, that's a problem. If you keep your head up and bend from the knees to make yourself smaller, you're okay. Follow that?
No, not at all. I have to see it. I'm a very visual person, and when you say bang, bang, I don't have time as a defender. I'm not thinking about my knee bend or anything like that, but I think the benefit in this situation is that the Atlanta Falcons have been doing this for a while, and they have been practicing the old ways of tackling for a while, so this is going to be nothing new for them. So they're kind of accustomed to that. It's like anything, John, that you do. If you do a repetition and you do it enough, it'll become old hat to you. So when you do have a bang-bang situation, you would naturally go into that, you know, bending your knees and taking your head out of it and hitting with your shoulder. But for me, being that old school guy that was accustomed to leading with your head, it's something that I would have to visually see the players do before I could kind of understand it better.
Well, you know, you being an old interior lineman, you know, and you're all pro
no,
days.
I was a defensive end. I wasn't no interior lineman. Let's get that right.
No interior.
No tackle. No
you were
tackle.
A lineman. You were not an interior lineman. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But you being an old lineman, let's put it that way, during your all-pro years and all that kind of stuff, Bryant Young, who's, of course, same like you, all-pro and all that kind of stuff, is the defensive line coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And I did ask him, you know, how does that mean for those? The point you brought up, Hugh, what about, you know, that close contact?
Well, you always want to keep your head up, keep your face up, and see what you're hitting. I think it doesn't change much up front. There's still going to be a lot of contact and collision up front. But in terms of in the field of play, you know, when you're making a tackle, you know, just always protecting yourself. Don't hit with the crown of your helmet, making sure that you see what you're hitting, keep your face up. And I think if we do it in that way and how we're teaching it to limit, you know, some of the injuries, I think it'll be really, really good for us.
All right, so he's talking about the overriding theme appears to be that we're not to the point. There's something called heads up football, right? Where you have to keep your head up, and they're teaching it in youth, right? You can't lower your head at all. We're not to that point yet with the NFL, but they're trying to teach NFL players to keep their heads up and lead with your face mask. I wonder how difficult that's going to be for some players to adjust to.
That's all I've been talking about, John. And when the way that it's been explained to me. When they were talking about up front in the interior line, that's what, when it was explained, that's what I thought they were talking about taking out of the game. I don't know anybody on the interior line that leads with their head down. I think they're more so talking about guys in the secondary when they're coming in for that blow when the receiver's catching the ball and they're trying to dislodge him from the football. Perfect example, Shazier, when he got hurt. That was kind of leading with the crown of your helmet. That was one of those plays that they're talking about. But if you're leading with your face, man, we used to call it putting that bike on them, because the bike helmets used to have that bike across the front, and they used to tell you hit with that bike. Don't put your head down. I mean, guys have been hitting like that for a while. This is where, for me, being visual helps out tremendously, because when I think about some of the rules that they're trying to implement and the way that you hit people, I don't never recall putting my head down and hitting with the crown of my helmet. I would always hit with my face mask. You always hit with you always lead and hit what you can see, just like Coach Young said. So it's going to be one of those things where I think that referees are going to have to gauge intent, or, you know, they're going to have to make a decision on the fly, because sometimes, you know, when you're getting ready to go tackle somebody and you're doing everything right, you're lined up right and all the other stuff, and the defender and the offensive player sees you, he naturally balls up. And when they ball up, they put their head down. And then there's a chance that you're going to have helmet-to-helmet contact. That's what I'm interested to see how the referees call that when that happens, because that's a bang-bang play.
Well, and this year, of course, if you get flagged for that, you can be ejected immediately from the game. And then part of that new rule is that NFL Replay in New York can review the ejection to determine, you know, or as best they can, the intent of the defender or I shouldn't say defender, because it could be an offensive player too. Review that to see whether or not the ejection should stand. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we move through this busy Thursday, this drinking night on a Thursday. A lot coming up too in terms of the NFL. There's more stories that we're going to get into in this hour, because a lot came out of these spring meetings that were really kind of interesting and important. But right now, before we get to that, we want to give you a chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
easy, because it's easy to enter for you to win $1,000. It is easy. You have till 7:59 to text the word easy, EASY, to 72881 from your cell phone, EASY to 72881. How easy is that? Easy to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Hopefully, your Memorial Day weekend starts with a big bang and you win $1,000 in the national signing bonus by texting EASY to 72881. All right, this wasn't part of the NFL spring meetings, but they're not directly anyway. We mentioned to you that the Super Bowl being here in Atlanta, that the Super Bowl committee from Atlanta and the NFL Super Bowl committee, we're going to be kind of, you know, breaking bread this week and going over sites and doing a little site survey right in front of the big game that's going to be, you know, next February at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Well, turns out that the NFL has now said to the Falcons, because they're the host team, and to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that they would like, if possible, if weather permits, for the roof to be open for the Super Bowl in February.
Dome ain't got no roof. It all depends on what the weather's going to be like. I don't see that happening. I don't. Because Atlanta weather in January is kind of unpredictable. It'd be great. It'd be great if that's the case. But, nah. Because what we're thinking, the Super Bowl start around 6 o'clock. If it's cold outside, man, I don't know. But it would be great if it was. If it was one of those nice warm days, then that would be a great I don't think that's going to happen.
The Falcons only played one game with the roof open last year. That was that opening game against Green Bay.
Is it fixed? The roof fixed? Does anybody know?
My understanding is that it's operational. Yes. That would be the word I would use.
I was told that you have to manually open it. So it technically it works, but it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay, but I guess it's the time to take to open the roof would take a little bit longer. Take what about about 45 minutes? Is that a 45 minute thingy?
Yeah, I think it was somewhere in that 30 to 40 minute range. I might be a little off. Also, the average temperature in Atlanta on February 3rd around 6 o'clock is about 50 degrees.
Well, if it's 50, you could play with the roof open, right? I mean, that's what it was in New York when they had the Super Bowl there a couple of years ago. It was 50
degrees. All the folks that's in the dome, they could draw heat. So it'd be warm enough.
Well, we told you there's a lot of big news in the NFL, and we have to get to all of it today because we want to bring you up to speed. Someone is not happy that Le'Veon Bell is not at OTAs or was not at OTAs for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who that someone was is another story. And we have that after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by AutoZone. Get the zone, AutoZone. Malcolm Jenkins' response to what I call the NFL's stand or hide national anthem policy was as predictable as it is misguided. On Instagram, the Eagles safety said, "What NFL owners did was thwart the players' constitutional..."
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The Game's national signing bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, it amazes me that here in the late stages of May, counting down to mandatory minicamps and whatnot, that the National Football League is able to steal headlines and make news. And boy, did they steal headlines and make news this week here in Atlanta.
Boy.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. Well, a lot was made. Boy, we had a lot going on with the whole Julio thing not being at OTAs, notwithstanding the fact that there were other players who were not at OTAs, Khalil Mack and other stars, Aaron Donald, Tom Brady, and Le'Veon Bell. So Le'Veon Bell, again, this has been an ongoing saga. Gosh, what's this been going on, 3 years now?
He's been trying to get a deal for the last 3 years, but he's kind of in that Kirk Cousins boat. When Kirk Cousins was going through contract disputes, and they tendered him. They franchise tagged him twice. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Le'Veon Bell didn't show up for OTAs. He wants a contract. The Steelers are doing the whole, you know, okey-doke here thing about with the contract again, and there's that going on. And while that happens, Antonio Brown, star wide receiver of the Steelers, decides he's just going to take it upon himself to weigh in on this situation, and this is what he said.
One thing about Le'Veon that makes him special, he takes his game serious. There's never a question or doubt about his game. Is he physically ready? I know when you walk in the building and whenever he show up, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a guy who's ready to take 400 to 500 carries, a guy who's willing to run, catch the ball, a guy who could do it all.
How much did you feel, though, like the way that you handled things when you were
trying to get a contract extension was maybe set an example for him and others, and just in terms of being here, doing your job, and hoping that they'll take care of you? Or is this a completely different circumstance?
Well, the first rule of getting better is showing up. You know, you can't make anything better without showing up. So, you know, I think if he show up, you know what I mean, make everyone understand where you want to be. You want to be here for not just this year, for years to come. You know, come out here and show up. You know, show up and get better and show God you're serious.
Well,
see, what you were about to say something, John?
No, I'm waiting for you because you're in that locker room. You can speak to this about when another player says something about another player like
that. I tell you, to be fair, I was in a situation like this, and this is the infamous T.O. situation. To be fair, he was asked a question. He was asked a question, and he answered it. And he never came out and said what was on the headline. Le'Veon Bell said, you know, show up and be here or whatever. But the way it was written, that's what it sounds like. And if I'm Le'Veon Bell, that's what I hear, to be fair. The rule of thumb is this, especially dealing with when you're dealing with somebody else's money. Number one, never count another man's money. And if you can, never comment on another person's financial situation. And I'll never forget it. It's like it was yesterday when T.O. was going through his contract dispute. Somebody asked me a question. And they asked me whether or not I would hold out. And I said, I've never been in a position to hold out. I'm not that player. I'm not that caliber of player where, you know, it comes down to whether or not I want to hold out. And then the next question was, if it was you, would you do it? And I said, if it was me, no, I wouldn't do it. That little quote right there turned into me telling T.O. not to hold out and all this other stuff. So the rule of thumb is this. When you're talking to the media, especially the media, because they have the uncanny ability of twisting your words and taking small snippets of what you say and making it the big story. Because when I read this story, it said, what it say? Antonio Brown says Le'Veon Bell needs to show up. If he want to get something done, he needs to show up. Yeah, he said that, but you got to take it in the context in which he said it.
Which is why we played the first bite before the second bite. But you're right. I mean, there is the media will bait you, Hugh. That's what they want to do. They're looking for that little nugget here, and so they'll go this way and that way because you know you've been in this position where, and of course now you're on the other side, and you don't necessarily.
This is why I hate the media.
The media, right, man, I hate the media too. Is the media will take a question and they'll ask you five different ways, same question. You know what I'm saying? Oh, let me ask you that. You know, without saying
it. It's not even that, John. That's a simple answer. That's a simple question. It was like, hey, you know, what about Le'Veon Bell? Hey, you know what? In order to get better, you need to be here. That's all he's saying. But the way the words are twisted, it makes it sound like he's saying, hey, man, you need to be here to get better. So it's just the way that it's worded. I mean, and it's unfortunate, but that's what we gravitate towards when we're listening to these stories, when we read these stories.
If you're Le'Veon, when Antonio Brown says to the media, you know, he's talking about Bell, you know, he's got to show us he's serious. If you're Le'Veon, do you take the, you go, wait a minute now. You're telling me, Antonio, you just said to the media, I got to show you I'm serious?
That's my point, John. When I heard that cut, he said that in that same cut that he played, and I didn't interpret it the way that it's written. I did not interpret it that way. You know, he was giving his opinion. But if I'm sitting at home, if I'm Le'Veon Bell and I'm sitting at home chilling, you know how it is with D when your homeboy call, hey man, Daryl said this about you. Daryl said you need to be at camp. You need to be at work. You ain't doing this. And the first thing you do is call him and say, hey man, why are you saying this? And then when you read the paper, it says the same thing. And he's trying to explain to you, hey man, I didn't say it like that. It's just that you have to be real careful in the way that you word things, especially nowadays, because everything, even what we do with this radio show, John, everything gets lost in translation. Everything gets lost in translation. And people will hear you say, they might jump in the car and hear you say, hear half of the conversation, and they formulated your opinion for you, and it turns into a big old stink about nothing. So you have to be careful when you're talking about another person's situation. You always have to be careful when
that goes certainly true to things like text and tweets, where you can't put anything into, you know, emotional context. But you know, that's why you have to be. I keep telling my daughter, be very careful of what you say when you text or tweet, because people could take it the entirely wrong way, and even though you don't mean it that way, because there's no context. So it's all about, everything in life is context, right? There is one other player that's holding on. That is Tom Brady. And Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, yesterday was the Boston media found him in the in Buckhead in the hotel in like the bar area. So the audio isn't super great.
Of course he is. Of course he's in the bar.
That could be taken out of context.
The turn up is real.
So Bob Kraft is in the bar. They ask him about Tom Brady not being at OTAs.
I've been in communication with Tom, and I think he's very excited about the upcoming season. These are voluntary workouts, and I think he's in great shape. You know, I think he's at an age where, I was thinking back to when he joined us, where he's blessed to have three children now, and he's built a number of businesses and has certain responsibilities. I think it's very hard for him to fulfill those during the season and the commitment he has to football. I can only say this. I know that he's very excited about being at minicamp and having a very special season this year.
All right, we'll see. He's very excited about being in minicamp and having a very special season this year, yada, 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 Bob Kraft. One rule of thumb, if you're ever getting interviewed by anybody on the record, you take the interview out of the bar. Okay, just a general.
Well, if the cat get, he got to get him where he can get him, and I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So, I mean, it in a perfect world, yeah, take it out of the bar. But hey, if Bob Kraft at the bar talking, shoot, you got to do what you got to do. Get that interview. Get that money. Cut that meat.
All right, so of all of these, just broadly, Hugh, just because I was thinking about it, all right, you got Khalil Mack, you got Julio, you got Le'Veon Bell, you got Tom Brady, Gronk, you know, I'm not so much worried about Gronk, but the big names that missed OTAs, should fans of any of these teams be worried about any of these guys?
No, it's OTAs. You want to be there. Like, you should, like, I've never missed an OTA, organized team activity. But you should be there, because it's especially in this NFL, where evaluation goes every time that you walk out there on that field. You're getting evaluated. You're getting critiqued. You're under the microscope. So for you not to be there, that just kind of, you know, that gives media outlets and stuff to talk about. But when you're talking, look at the guys that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Donald didn't show up OTAs last year. One. He was the MVP.
Right.
MVP of the league last year. So you don't really too much worry about it. Tom Brady, look at what he's been able to do over his career. Really don't worry about that. And I look at it, you know, with Khalil Mack the same way. You know, they're going to come to play. They're working out. And, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, so I'm not overly concerned about any of these either. I think this is just a, you know, posturing.
This is something to talk about.
Yeah, it gives something to talk about. But I think – you know, again, if you're going to be playing fantasy football this year, I wouldn't worry about Tom Brady not being available, or Julio Jones or Khalil Mack or any of these guys.
Because Tom Brady,
you know,
wasn't going to be available.
I got to believe if you're Aaron Donald and if your goal is to win a ring, you have to look at, I don't know if it'll work in L.A., but suddenly you're running alongside Ndamukong Suh, and you got to think, you know, we're talking about brothers on our poll question today about the best brothers. Maybe I ought to call those two guys some kind of brothers, but the idea of lining up Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh next to each other?
Yeah, but it's a business first, John. I mean, and the NFL showed you that yesterday with the decision that they made. They made a business decision. Kneeling for the anthem is bad for business. It's still a work environment. So Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, and those guys are treating it like a business. It ain't about winning a ring. I mean, it is, but for them, they're treating it like a business, as they should.
It is a morning show with John and Hugh, and you can go to our Twitter at 929 The Game and vote on it's National Brothers Day on the Best Brothers. We really want you to just weigh in, though, and give us your thoughts.
The Wayans Brothers. Forgot about them.
The Wayans Brothers. There's another set of brothers. And you can join us at our golf event, which is going to be June 6th at Top Golf Midtown. It's going to be a great time. Go to 929thegame.com and find the events page and sign up to come hit Topgolf with us and all the celebrities. Grady Jarrett helping us present it. The entirety of 92.9 and the game is going to be there. Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Spoon, Ray Lewis is going to be there. Derek Shelby, all the stars. Come join us Wednesday, June 6th. You got to do this. It's going to be so much fun. It's in a couple of weeks on Wednesday, June 6th. When we get back, there's a big loss for sports journalism here in town, and I'll tell you what that is. And I think it really is a big loss. It's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
Now hear this, now hear this.
Hey, did you hear this?
Back on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game on this busy Thursday. Kind of early weekend stuff here. I get to the real story I want to do about UFC here in a moment, but I just want to give a quick shout-out if we can. Because, Hugh, when anybody ever loses their job, it's a tough thing. And here in Atlanta, there's a group that has been doing really good work on the internet in a series of college blogs called Diehards that has been told that they are shutting down. They were all tweeting out yesterday that they told that Diehards is shutting down at the end of next month, which is a shame. Diehards has a blog for each of the five major power conferences. They have one that's called SEC Country. It's very good, and I'm going to miss it. There are really good blogs out there. There are a lot of good blogs out there for college football or for any sport, really. But for college football, SEC Country was a very good blog, and that's going to be gone, and it's just a little bit of a shame. And it's here in Atlanta, too. So we'll miss that one, and I wish all those folks the very best because they did. By the way, I want you to know, if you're from Diehards, I thought you guys did very good work, very good work. But it's UFC that I really want to talk about because UFC scored big, huge. You see this story about UFC and ESPN? Man of mercy. Here's my question about it. Let me just tell you the story and let me see if I can get this straight. And Bo, you're the UFC fan. You may be able to help on this too. ESPN and UFC have agreed to a 5-year, $1.5 billion deal. $1.5 billion for 5 years to bring the fight night to 30 UFC fight nights per year to ESPN. I think this could take UFC to a new level.
Well, it already did, especially when you think about all the financial troubles that ESPN were saying that they had about, what, a year ago when they were laying off all these people? For them to be able to make this move, that's a huge coup for UFC. And I think that, you know, it's grown to the point where they can sustain that and people will be interested in watching that because you have so many different interesting fights that can go on, like, during the course of a week. Because normally – for me personally, as a casual UFC fan, you only hear about the fights on the weekend or if they're major fights. And I'm assuming that with this new ESPN program that you're talking about, some fights probably in the middle of the week and from Wednesday on up to the weekend. So that's pretty big. That is huge.
Yeah, they're gonna have 12 fights per show and at least 30
Ooh,
of
12.
These. Yeah.
That ain't bad. That's a good night for a person that's big-time UFC fan.
And we're talking about live, okay? And $1.5 billion over 5 years, so a big windfall in terms of money for UFC. But here's my question, and you're right. I hadn't, and by the way, kudos to you because I hadn't thought about it from the ESPN standpoint and the perspective, and I think that's a good call, Hugh. For UFC, it seems to me, I'm like you, I'm a casual UFC fan. It seems to me that UFC is threatening to break out into the, I don't know, what, the wider public to become even bigger than it is. Is it bigger than boxing right now?
Yes. Yes. Where have you been, John? John Fricky? UFC fight, like, if I'm wrong, please correct me, Bo, but I know up north, like, to watch most of the major UFC fights, like Buffalo Wild Wings had that on lock. Like, that was the spot to go for whatever reason. Was that, like, I don't know if they were in bed with Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever, but it just seemed like all the hot spots for UFC fighting, that Buffalo Wild Wings was the spot to go. So it's always been a hot ticket, and it's always been something that I know when they have those major fights, even when they have those undercard fights, that people are watching them. They're into them big time.
But this is – first off, they announced that this was their deal and it was just going to be a few fights a year on ESPN and then ESPN Plus, which is a paid app. Now they've announced the second part of this, which is basically taking it away from Fox Sports. This is what Fox Sports has been doing for years. I mean, regular Fox TV was having live fights. In fact, when Conor McGregor first started making himself, he fought on Fox right after, I think, what the NFC Championship game had went off. So this has been happening. They're just moving it from Fox to ESPN. And back in the day, it was on what was called Spike TV. And then Spike TV lost it to Fox. I mean, yeah, to Fox. And now it was on FS1 and regular Fox. And now that's going to ESPN. I think, I don't know if worldwide the popularity is more than boxing. Boxing's been around so long, but it's the hot thing. And right now, it's got more steam. Boxing has hurt itself, just like with the Triple G fight, where Triple G and Canelo can't fight for the second time because of tainted
the scoring, right?
Tainted food truck meat after after the terrible scoring.
Cut yes. that meat.
Yeah, the scoring and then the tainted food truck.
Cut that.
Yeah,
meat.
I know it's so interesting because we were talking about Thomas Hearns. What was it yesterday that it was Hitman Hearns' birthday or something? Before, and you think back to the day, Hugh, when you and I were growing up and how big boxing was and how big these guys were, and now you know poor guys like Wilder out there trying scratching and clawing to get some attention here.
Yeah, and he really is,
and really UFC is really taking kind of that lead here, and I think that this is just the next step in what Dana White's been trying to keep this genie in the bottle. If it really explodes here, and this is the move that makes it explode into the national, all you UFC fans, I understand your sport's big, but we're talking about mega big, okay? We're talking about that next level, and the mega big comes from all the casual fans, Hugh.
I tell you what, I know Bo said is he don't know, but man, I tell you, there are a lot. Like, to me, UFC spawned what they call those, like the cross training. To me, that's kind of in the same vein. So to me, it is bigger because when you look at all those cross training gyms and everything like that, that kind of is in the same vein of all of this extreme training that UFC fighters have to do in order to for their discipline, So yeah, I think it's bigger than boxing right now.
You know, I can't argue that anymore.
Cut that meat. Cut that meat.
Good fight, Daryl.
I don't know why that's in my head, but that's in my head today.
Braves taking a day off, and they are gathering themselves up and catching their breath. I headed to Boston tomorrow on the headlines next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Cut that meat.
Sandwich.
Cut that meat.
$6.
Cut that meat.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.